to St. John's Sermons, a podcast from St. John's Lutheran Church, North Prairie, Wisconsin, a congregation of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We offer this podcast with the loving encouragement to use it as a supplement to your own regular reception of the Lord's gifts of forgiveness and life in word and sacrament on the Lord's Day. The Lord bless your hearing of these sermons.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Holy Gospel. Dear friends in Christ, here's the word. Mary Shelley was no shrinking violet. She was the wife of one of the most impressive romantic poets of the English era in the 19th century, Percy Shelley. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Shelley's poems, but pretty powerful stuff, even if not very Christian. She was his wife, but she too was a writer, and she's famously known for having written one of the most famous horror stories, or at least we think horror stories, ever written. Frankenstein. She did not set out to write a horror story when she wrote the story of Frankenstein. She'd actually set out to write a tragedy. She'd set out to write a story about what she thought would happen if man ever got the capacity or the power to create life. Her thinking was, if mortal humans who are destined to die could ever create life, it could only end in a tragic way, which is essentially what happens in the story of Frankenstein. Everything ends in a very profound tragedy. And that was the point of the book. The book was not necessarily written to scare people. It was meant to warn them. Don't get too big for your britches. And I would bet in the 19th century, people read Frankenstein and probably thought it was a fantasy, because who could, you know, how could humans ever think that they could ever create life? Now here we are at the dawn of the 21st century. And what are we doing? Well, we're a little bit past the dawn of the 21st century. It's about 7 in the morning now. But anyway, what are we doing? We are enhancing life in great ways through artificial technologies and the like. And yes, there's a lot of talk about things like robots and stuff like that. You can, and right now it's all very innocuous. You could buy a robot and program them to do your household chores for you. It can't think, it can't do anything that it isn't programmed to do. It's technically not living, but it's impersonating it pretty well. I don't think that will ever happen in our household, where we will get robots to do the household chores. As for me and my house, we will sweep the floor. But anyway, that's not how that verse ends. You know, did you catch the joke? Yeah, we will serve the Lord, we will sweep the floor. Kind of works. Yeah. I've been writing for another thing right now, and I'm actually putting that joke into that too. But anyway, we will sweep the floor. The idea is that humans cannot animate things. We cannot create life, and if we do, it's only going to end badly. Our text has a lot of animation going on in it, and it's not a cartoon. What you see is something very interesting. If you read our text carefully in Isaiah 35, you see inanimate objects coming to life as if they were human. And on top of that, you see humans who are maybe a little past their prime and dealing with all the physical realities that go with being past their prime, all of a sudden becoming young again and leaping around like deers and gazelles. Not because any human could ever pull this off, any fallen human, I should say, could ever pull this off, but because of the promises of God, which are fulfilled in Christ Jesus, all of life and all of this world will be reanimated. The whole goal of Jesus' return, everything that's pressing toward, is the new heavens and the new earth. And if that's the whole goal, Pastor, why do you talk about forgiveness so much? Because that's the ticket to the new heavens and the new earth. That's the ticket to a new life in this life. And that's the ticket to the secret of this, all this reanimation that's going on in our Old Testament reading. It's all bound up in that pink candle. That pink candle is the candle for joy. Joy, unlike our previous 2 weeks in the Advent season where we were talking about peace and hope, and yet the Old Testament readings didn't really use the term much, even though it was pretty much talking about those things. didn't use the term much. The term joy does appear a few times in our text today. And it is the animating factor. It's the thing that God brings into the whole equation through the forgiveness of sins that sets people dancing. Your young men will see visions. Peter reminded the Pentecost crowd from the prophecy of Joel in Joel chapter 2. And your old men will dream dreams. That was just a real interesting way of describing that same reanimation. You know how it is when we get older. We get more realistic and then crustier. Maybe we bounce from realism down to cynicism. Ebenezer Scrooge, remember him? And all of a sudden, the old men are dreaming dreams. That's a nice little parallel to some of the things you hear in here. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame man will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. Meanwhile, those inanimate objects, the waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert, the burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water in the haunt of jackals where they lie down. Ever see Lion King? Where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. You and I can't make that happen, and we shouldn't pretend that we ever could. See, we're on the receiving end of this. We're the ones who, because of the curse of sin that has been passed down from generation to generation since Adam and Eve, we're the ones who begin this text as good as dead, which is true. This is why the bodies don't work as well. Mine doesn't work as well at 43 as it did at 25. Yeah, I know. Some of you are not feeling very sorry for me. It's okay. But this is why. All that death and all that decay came into the world through the fall into sin. We were, the minute we were born, the minute we were conceived, as good as gone. And yet through the joy of Christ, through the coming of Christ the first time around, who, in doing the miracles, you know, Jesus is always busy telling his disciples, the miracles aren't everything. I didn't come here just to do tricks. I came here to preach. But look what the miracles do teach us. What the miracles teach us is that Isaiah 35, our text today in the Old Testament, has a fulfillment. God can look on someone who is deaf in Christ and make them hear. And there, in that is a little resurrection. A little reanimation. He can take the blind and make them see. He can even take the dead and make them rise. Little girl, rise. And it happens. And only happens in Christ Jesus. For you and I, stuck in our sins with the death penalty of sin hanging over our heads, we could trudge our way through this life with our heads held low, in regret and sorrow and guilt over our sins. But that, our Old Testament lesson, is not what God wants for you and for me. In proclaiming by the power of the very same word that created this world and gave life in the first place, proclaiming to you that your sins are forgiven today, all that death, all that stuff that holds you back, all that stuff that limits you has been put to death by Christ's own suffering and death on the cross. And you now are not limited. Oh yeah, the bodies still don't feel always right all the time. But all is well with your soul. And indeed, God still got your body in his hands as well. Because when this body is gone and put wherever it's going to be placed, and maybe this will happen before that happens for you. That's my prayer. That's my sure hope. The same Christ who came the first time of water, woman, and manger, who died of water, blood, and spirit, and who rose again and ascended on high, is returning to claim that body, is returning to reanimate the dead, and is returning to take this earth, destroyed by fire, and recreate a new heavens and a new earth for you and I to live in body and soul. And that is, it's funny, these four themes, peace, love, hope, and joy that mark Advent, these four themes operate in such close proximity that you never know really what you're talking about. For a second there, I thought, this is our hope. Yeah, but we talked about hope last week. This is also our joy. That as we go out the doors, having been forgiven today, Christ's recreating work is already beginning. A new creation heads back out the door into the old dying creation out there. And you know that outside those doors, that world is dying. And the only thing that can reanimate it is Christ. Now here's the thing. You bear Christ, just as Mary bore him. You too bear him. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on or clothed themselves with Christ. Put on the new man, capital N, capital M is what it should be in our Bibles. The Jesus who saves, who animates, who gives life, who brings joy to the joyless, hope to the hopeless, love to the loveless, and peace to a warring world and a warring people. That Christ, if he goes back out with you into the world, can't help but change people. We put so much pressure on ourselves to get this right that we forget that all Christ is calling us to do is be his joyful people. Be his hopeful people. Be his loving people. Be his reconciled and made peace with people. See, that's what Advent's all about. Advent's all about showing us what Christ did the first time around. Straw, manger, hay, animal sounds, wood, nails, spear, death, blood, water, resurrection, joy, victory, hope, comfort, eternity. I'm not just hashtagging you to death, to use a modern term from social networking. I'm telling you, all of that is there in the Christ who, when he returns, can even get the hills to rise up in joy singing to him. So, it's really all about joy. It's all about a joy that comes from the outside. We can never recreate that. But today, if your sins have been forgiven when you walk out that door, and I'm going to tell you that they have, whether you realize it or not, going back out that door is a matter of going out joyful, going out animated, going out re-enlivened to show a dying world just how poorly their efforts are working in trying to create some sort of strange life. Remember what I said a couple weeks ago. This period of the year, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, is, in our secular society, one gigantic failure. It's a huge failure. What you and I have in this grace and in this forgiveness transforms this season. But it has the power to re-enliven an entire world. So we pray in the Advent season, very seriously, just as we did in the hymn just before. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set your people free. Grant us freedom and the forgiveness of sins, and with that, all those other hashtags as well. And this week, as we draw closer and closer to Christmas, my prayer is that Christmas wouldn't beat you down, but that God's joy in Christ would lift you up. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the offering and the offertory. I went looking for the hymn boards. I don't know why they're not up. The offertory is hymn 341, verses 3 and 4.
This podcast is a service of St. John's Lutheran Church in North Prairie, Wisconsin. For more information, including location, service times, and links to other Lutheran agencies, please visit our website at www.stjohnsmp.org. That's www.stjohnsmp.org. Theme music performed by Mr. Philip Magnus.